Today I recall I promised to construct one particular family of interval hierarchies, and this is just a reminder of the general setup. So we're classifying systems, hierarchies of systems of PDE, system of PDEs. Every system is a system of n PDEs, n dependent functions, u1, u2, and so on, un. X space variable, t time variable. There is one x, and many times, of course, infinitely many times. And we classify this hierarchy satisfying certain properties with respect to the group of mirror type transformations. So, the group of such the substitutions that are represented in terms of such a formal infinite series in epsilon, such that in the leading term, one has invertible, local invertible transformation. So, a local diffeomorphism. So, a profinite extension of the group of local diffeomorphisms. Not profinite, pronilpotent, excuse me. Pronilpotent. So this is the reminder of the main assumptions. Certain exemptions of genericity, so I mean the eigenvalues of the matrix IJ are distinct, and the triangular Hamiltonian recursion is assumed with respect to the chosen family of Hamiltonians. Existence of tail function is the main point, I recall. Okay? And from the theorems last time, formulation of the theorem suggested that there should be moduli space of such hierarchies. So first of all, these hierarchies depend on at most finite number of parameters. First parameters come from the dispersionless limit of the hierarchy when epsilon is set to zero, and these parameters coincide with the parameters of the so-called semi-simple Frobenius manifolds that gives n times n minus 1 over 2 essential parameters. And plus additional central charges that come already from higher corrections in epsilon. So the missing point is that we, so far, we are not able to prove that these central charges can be actually arbitrary numbers. So we don't have at the moment existence theorem. So to prove existence, one has to prove, to proceed from the considering infinitesimal, the space of infinitesimal deformations, and these are just coordinates in the space of infinitesimal transformations, to finite transformations, to prove that all higher abstractions vanish. So, and today I will consider only one particular case where all these numbers, C, central charges, are equal to each other and are equal to the number 1 over 24. Okay, so the role of this 1/24, this we call this hierarchies of the topological type, and I will briefly discuss the motivation for such a name. First of all, let me remind the general quasi-triviality theorem that says that just slightly extending the class of the group of mirror type transformations, allowing rational dependence on the jet coordinates, on the derivatives, one can kill all epsilon corrections. Okay. So because of this, I already claimed this, that all the theory of integrable hierarchies sits in the gap between the group of polynomial mirror type transformations and rational mirror type transformations. Okay? More precisely, and this is actually a theorem is valid in more general setting without assuming existence of tail function, although we did first the proof for this particular case. But now the proof is available, it exists on the web, our joint paper with Liu and Zhang. We proved for any Hamiltonian structure of the above form. always one has this, what we call quasi-triviality. In this particular case, where the existence of tension is assumed, we can be more specific. So the quasi-triviality transformation can be represented in such a form, in the form of such k, there's a mistake, k greater equals than 1, of course. So the extension begins from epsilon, from epsilon, epsilon square, and so on. Epsilon, k greater equals than 1. So this is the derivative with respect to x, with respect to t alpha 0, that correspond to the unperturbed, to the dispersionist hierarchy. So when we take the derivation, we update, of course, again, some combination of some functions on the jet space. I mean, all the dependence on the index alpha sits here in the grid. So this part is common for all the components. So the claim is that the claim is that there exists such a transformation such that the function f sub k have such a structure. Up to polynomial Meurer type transformation has such a structure. First of all, f1, the coefficient in front of epsilon, is zero. So this means that linear terms in epsilon in the hierarchy can be simultaneously killed by a polynomial Meurer transformation. Then F2, this is the place where the central charges arise. It's some function on V plus function on the first derivatives. And this is actually linear combination of log of the x derivative, first x derivatives of the canonical coordinates. And the coefficients in front of these logs are our central charges. This is an alternative definition of the central charges, comparing with the one I gave last time. Okay, so that means that for the hierarchies of the topological type, all these coefficients are equal to 1/24. And higher order terms, they are rational functions on the jet space, on the finite jet space. Moreover, we can estimate the order of the highest derivatives. The order of the highest derivatives for both k even and odd, k is equal to 2g, or k is equal to g plus 1, is less or equal than 3g minus 2. This is so-called 3g minus 2 assumption that known in the theory of Virasoro constraints due to Iguchi, Horie, and others. This actually, of course, this is was derived as some topological statement about the topology of the Lyapunov space. But here it is again a property of the general theory of iterable hierarchies, such an estimate. Okay? This is a good point. Actually, one can prove, one can be even more specific, that up to the group of Meurer type transformations, for the case, at least for this case, one can reduce everything only to even powers of epsilon. All odd powers can be gauged out by polynomial Meurer type transformations. We do not know how to prove this in general case for arbitrary C's, but for this case, we can do it. Could be. Yes. I know such a possibility where not only even powers of the coupling constant arise. But by the way, I forgot last time to tell you something about this one more comment about topological charges. Of course, the initial question is to compare all this business with known examples of iterable hierarchies. What are known examples? There are a nice family of iterable hierarchies due to Drinfeld-Sokolov. They are usually called Drinfeld-Sokolov reduction or Drinfeld-Sokolov classification. There's no classification. This is just construction, starting from arbitrary simple algebra. They construct iterable hierarchy. And the Frobenius manifold, in this case, this is initial Frobenius structure on the orbit space of the corresponding Weyl group, Okay. But the, however, the interesting things begin just at the order epsilon square correction, just the story with the center charges. It looks like that for the simply least, simple algebras. Indeed, all the central charges are 1/24. This we have checked at least for the AN type, and I think for DN it's also not that difficult. Okay. Already for B2 case, the central charges are not equal. One central charge is equal 1/24, another one 1/12. So because of this, again, this was I refer to old paper by Gucci, who observed that B2 integral hierarchy, in the sense of Dirichlet Sokolov, does not satisfy the axioms of the topological field theory. This is the risk. Okay. Let's go ahead. And the Virasoro symmetries play important role in the construction, in the proving of existence, actually, in the construction of the universal family of integral hierarchies of the topological type. Universal means that very canonical way with variation of the semisimple Frobenius manifold. And here I have to be more accurate in describing of the monodromy data of the Frobenius manifold near the origin z equals zero. So essentially this is just the more precise structure of the basis of horizontal sections of the deformed plate connections nabla tilde. So in general, this basis, the monodromy has two parts. One is semisimple part. Another is a unipotent part. It is convenient to split the behavior, that's called regular behavior near z equals zero. Then power behavior, z to the mu, where mu is diagonal matrix. Okay. And another, the nilpotent, then triangular matrix R will give logarithmic terms in case if mu, the matrix mu, diagonal matrix mu is resonant. So there are pairs of eigenvalues with positive integer differences. Okay? This corresponds to the so-called Lewald basis near of solutions to the linear differential equations near regular singularity, Lewald or Lewald-Geldmacher. So this is some standard construction in the theory of linear differential equations, local theory. Okay? And the matrix R can be decomposed in the sum R1 plus R2, where the so these are triangular matrices, as it is clear from this condition. So the entries of the matrix R sub K are non-zero only if the difference between eigenvalue number alpha minus eigenvalue of mu number beta is equal to K, exactly this number, K. Okay? So, for example, of quantum cohomology, the eigenvalues of mu up to shifts, there are just degrees of the cohomology classes, and so in particular, they are all integers or all half integers, and R is the matrix of multiplication by the first chain class. So only R1 in this case is non-zero. Okay, then I have to describe in suitable form the free field realization for the Virasoro algebra. This is, of course, is equivalent to the free field realization by Gucci-Hori, but slightly the formula looks slightly differently. So I introduce Heisenberg algebra, where A, alpha, P are the generators. They have double labels, alpha Greek in the label from 1 up to n. P is half integer. Okay, the standard. So these are the commutation relation with the matrix E alpha beta sits here, and signs plus minus. Okay, I introduce the row vector. Take the generating function of this row vector and take, multiply by z to the mu, z to the r, the same factor that already appeared in the previous slide, and take the Laplace transform. Of course, there are I have to be a little bit more precise how to define, how to regularize this Laplace transform. Let me, not to do it. This is technicalities. I will tell in a minute what I tell. Then the generator of the Virasoro, of the generators of the how to say the generating function of the elements of the Virasoro algebras L sub n is just minus 1/2 times the normal product of the here you see there is quadratic combination of the lambda derivatives of this current. Okay, the matrix G alpha beta plus some constant. The matrix G alpha beta is the following matrix: e to pi I r e to pi I mu plus the same I to minus pi I r minus e to minus pi mu. This looks like almost square root of the monodromy. So the monodromy near the origin is exponential of 2 pi I r times exponential of 2 pi I mu. And this matrix is, by the way, commute. By these matrices are do not commute. Okay. So there is some nice explanation of this formula in terms of the construction of Lett coordinates for the pair of Lett matrix, but let me skip it. So this is the construction of the generators of the Virasoro algebra. More precisely, the generators L sub m for m greater or equal than minus 1 are well defined always. In this case, we do not have the problem with the regularization of the Laplace transform. Okay, but full Virasoro algebra can be constructed only if the spectrum of mu contains no half integers. Okay, then one obtains the full representation of the full Virasoro algebra with the central charge n, where n is equal to the dimension of the Frobenius manifold. Of course, choosing the standard realization of the Heisenberg algebra, where the operator of annihilation for p positive are derivative, the operator of creation for p negative are up to some signs epsilon inverse, just multiplication by the times of the hierarchy. One obtains the realization of the Virasoro algebra by at most second-order linear differential operators with the most quadratic coefficients in times. And this is just a reminder of what you, I'm sure, have seen many times. For n equals, when n is equal to 1 KdV, in this case, both mu and r is equal to 0. This is the standard Sugawara formula for the realization of the Virasoro generators associated with KdV. These factorials usually are omitted, so by rescaling times, one can eliminate the factorials, of course, the double factorials. But however, in order to keep this, what I call tau symmetry, it is important to keep the correct normalization of times, and in particular to have simple relationship between KdV hierarchy and the generating function of the intersection numbers on the Lie Manifold space. It is important to keep correct normalization of the times. Okay. So another example, this is quantum homology of projective line. This already, you know, two-dimensional Frobenius manifold. This is the potential. In this case, the matrix mu, diagonal matrix, is the matrix with eigenvalues minus 1/2. So this is, you see, of course, resonant matrix. So difference is 1. So the matrix R is equal to R1. This is lower triangular matrix. And it gives the logarithmic terms in the asymptotic behavior of the horizontal functions near z equals 0. Okay, this is just, of course, nothing but the matrix of multiplication by the first chain class of CP1. Okay, and these are the from here L minus 1 to Lm, these are the Virasoro generators where alpha, some numbers that are related with the values of the gamma function for integers. The generators for L sub minus M, they also can be defined as suitable regularization by, of course, you see, they are just operator multiplication by quadratic polynomial, so they commute. Okay. So only positive, in this case, the spectrum, both eigenvalues are half integers, only half of the Virasoro algebra survives. This is the general situation for quantum cohomology of complex manifold of odd complex dimension. part, even complex dimension, the full, as you know, the full Virasoro algebra survives. Now, I don't remember why it is called theorem 4. I'm not sure that theorem 1, 2, 3 has already been, I'm sorry about that, but anyway, the theorem is, this is just the main statement about construction of integral hierarchy of the topological type. It says that for any semi-simple Frobenius manifold, there exists, and it is unique, integral hierarchy of the topological type, such that the additional flows generated in terms of tau function by the action of these Virasoro operators introduced just in the previous slides, okay, act by infinitesimal symmetries of the hierarchy. Okay, so linear action of the Virasoro operators onto tau gives infinitesimal symmetries. At the end of last lecture, I already try to explain why this is just a strong restriction. So in particular for the case of the KDV hierarchies, indeed this, it selects just very precise normalization of all the coefficients of the hierarchy. The invariance of the hierarchy with respect to the linear action of the Virasoro symmetries onto the tau function. Okay? So I mean that for all other values of central charges for all other hierarchies, we can prove using quasi-triviality theorem that Virasoro, half of the Virasoro algebra indeed does act by symmetries of the hierarchy. But only for this hierarchy, for the hierarchy of the topological type, the action is such, takes such a simple form. The linear action of the linear differential operators onto tau function. Okay. So this is the in a sense the main statement, and moreover, the second part of this statement says that any regular solution to the hierarchy, regular means that admits regular expansion in powers of epsilon, can be obtained from the vacuum solution, and the vacuum solution is the one that is invariant with respect to this Virasoro symmetry, so that our passion is annihilated by the operator L sub m for m greater or equal to minus 1. So any solution can be obtained by shift along times of the hierarchy. Shift, so one can add this, these are shifts, arbitrary, the shifts are arbitrary series in epsilon. Okay? Motivation, these are motivation, I will give you some comments about the proofs, but let me first give comment about the name. Why I think this hierarchy deserves to be called integral hierarchy of the topological type. Since it turns out that this is a piece of so far of experimental mathematics, that all known relations for the topological correlators, okay, are reproduced for the particular solution of this hierarchy. This is not vacuum solution. It is obtained from the vacuum solution by the by one along the time variable with number 1, 1. So you see, I recall that the variable number t10, this is just x translation. Okay, so this is selected variable. So number t11 is just the next to t10 in the hierarchy. Okay, so this is was and this indeed is something that we do not know how to prove. We just have checked for lower genera. More precisely, this is some examples of the universal identities for the topological. Topological correlators that are obtained from the theory of integral hierarchies. So, that we start from integral hierarchy of the topological type. We compute, we take the topological tau function, we compute the derivative, as in the previous slide, and we look at the identities for these derivatives. It turns out that for any integral hierarchy of the topological type, these identities actually, at least for in low order synapses, these identities are the same as identities that's known in the theory of Gromov-Witten invariance, or in other words, in two-dimensional topological field theory. So these are, first identities is WDVV itself. Okay, then the topological recursion relation for genus zero. Of course, here the choice of central charges is not important yet, since it appears already in genus for genus one. Okay, but the genus one already reproduces correctly the Dagger-Witten topological recursion relations for genus one. One correctly reproduces the Gessler's defining relation for genus one Gromov-Witten invariance without descendants that come from the intersection theory of M14. In some cases, we have checked also some part of the identities due to Gessler, Belaruski, Pandri, Panda, and genus two. Not for all cases, but just computation were complicated. So that means that the eventual questions raised by this experimental observation, to try to compare universal identities on two sides. On one side, universal identities for integrable that come from the theory of integrable systems. Take fix n and consider all universal identities for the derivatives of the topological tau function, of log of topological tau function, one side. Okay. From another side, one can try to analyze universal identities in the theory of Gromov-Witten invariance. Universal, that means that they depend only on the dimension of the full of the total cohomology space. I consider only let me forget for the moment about odd cohomologies, consider only even cohomology. More precisely, not only even, but for the case of projective varieties, the KK type cocycles. Okay? Consider universal identities for the corresponding Gromov-Witten invariants. Universal, again, they do not depend on the choice of variety. So, these two classes of identities are equivalent. So they generate the same, differential ideals. Okay. Some comments about the proofs. So the proof is based essentially on the following lemma. Lemma is just basically the idea is that from the invariance we observe that invariance of the hierarchy using quasi-triviality theorem, invariance of the hierarchy with respect to the action of Eratosthenes symmetries that act linearly is equivalent to the following system of equations that already appeared in the Eratosthenes conjecture. So take the genus zero vacuum tau function, multiply by such a series where f sub g are unknown functions on the jet up to 3g minus 2 according to the quasi-triviality theorem. Okay. Then the statement is that for any Frobenius manifold, such a system, infinite system of equations, has unique solution. So solution exists, and it is unique. And then we use this delta F, to construct the hierarchy. How to prove existence and uniqueness? The idea is actually to rewrite the infinite system of Eratosthenes constraints as a kind of infinite order differential equations for the function delta F as function on the jet space. This is an example of such an equation written for the case n is equal to 1. for the case of KdV. Okay? Of course, let me return for the moment back. So the system of the Virasoro constraints, this is also known in since many years. This is what is called loop equation. It was known also in matrix models. It was used by Ambjorn Chekhov Makeyenko to compute the genus one correction for the matrix models. Okay, but we want now to rewrite these loop equations, not just to eliminate dependence on times, to reduce this in closed form as differential equations of the jet space. Of course, this is infinite, so delta f expansion of infinite number of variables. Of infinite order, but since in every order in epsilon it depends on a finite number of jets, we can solve these differential equations recursively. Okay, how to prove now? It is more important here. You see, more important the following observation. Here the dependence of lambda remained. What is the origin of this lambda? Let me return again back. So we take the system, multiply, divide this over lambda to n plus 2, and take the generating function. After this, we do some tricks to eliminate times. After this, we arrive at this final form of the loop equation on the jet space. It contains lambda inside. Now, to prove uniqueness and actually to prove existence, instead of expanding in epsilon, we expand in lambda near the pole. Lambda is equal to V. Okay? And in this particular case, only one pole. Okay? So, you see, when expanding this equation near lambda is equal to infinity, one obtains just L minus 1, L0, L1, okay? The usual Virasoro constraints, by definition, of the generating function. But instead of this, we expand near the pole. And in general case, for n-dimensional Frobenius manifold, there will be exactly n poles. Okay, n poles near where the position of the poles are just the values of the canonical coordinates on the Frobenius manifold. Okay, so in this way, instead of infinite system equations, we arrive at finite system equations in every order in epsilon. For this finite system equations, we can prove existence and uniqueness. Okay. Finally, how to use the solution in order to construct the hierarchy. We take this delta F and we perform the quasi-triviality transformation generated with this delta F. And then we prove that the result of the transformation will be indeed the integral hierarchy of the topological type we are looking for. What is the main difficulty here? Of course, if you remember the formula for the delta F. Delta F was not polynomial. The dependence of delta F on the jets was not polynomial. Some logarithms entered and some rational functions. So the main difficulty is to prove absence, to prove cancellations of the denominators. So after the substitution, it is not that simple even to check with the KdV. If you perform such a substitution, it's better to use computer even in the leading. Of course, this is not very difficult to do even without computer in the leading order. But already in the order epsilon to the 4, the computation become quite involved. Okay, so in order to prove cancellation of the denominators, here the Virasoro invariance is crucial. Okay, you see, Virasoro invariance means that taking the derivative, mixed derivative in two different way, one must obtain something equal. But if the hierarchy contains some denominator, taking one more derivative along the flow of the Virasoro algebra will just increase the order of the pole in the denominator. So this is, since we, because of commutativity, this cannot happen. So this is the way, very just loosely speaking, the way we prove for proof polynomiality. We still have problem. This is still unfinished. What we cannot prove, we cannot prove in general that even for this case of the hierarchy of the topological type, that the Poisson pencil is polynomial, depends polynomially on the derivative, on the judge. Okay, strangely enough, we can prove polynomiality of the hierarchy, we can prove polynomiality of the first integrals, but we do not have at the moment proof of polynomiality of the Bahr-Hamiltonian structure. This is something that we hope to set up in the near future. Okay? And this is example, just one more motivation about this name, that one more comment to the name about the integral hierarchy of the topological type, that says the following. This again about the, I come back to the general conjectural relationship between identities in the theory of integral hierarchies and identities in the theory of Gromov-Witten invariance. In one particular case, we can indeed prove that the total Gromov-Witten potential indeed satisfies our integral hierarchy of the topological type associated with a Frobenius manifold, namely with the Frobenius manifold that comes from quantum cohomology, of course. So we take quantum cohomology, and this means that all quantum cohomology are constructed in terms of general zero Gromov-Witten invariance. Okay. Then, according to the general procedure, we produce integral hierarchy of the topological type, take the topological solution. Then the claim is if x is such that the Virasoro constraints hold true for the total Gromov-Witten potential, then this total Gromov-Witten potential is the topological top function for the hierarchy. For example, this is the case due to the given task theorem about validity of Virasoro constraints for projective spaces. This is true for any projective space of any dimension. So in this case, indeed, from this theorem, it follows that for the projective spaces, in all genera, the identities come from iterable hierarchies are satisfied are valid for the total Gromov-Witten potential. At the end, let me return to Hermitian matrix models. I recall, so this is just V is the potential, lambda k are just parameters. So recall that the idea was to consider this Hermitian matrix model as function on lambda and coefficients of the polynomials and on n. Instead of n, it is convenient to perform such a substitution, x over epsilon, and I explain how to do this. And the claim was that the partition function, this function of this, was actually a tau function of extended order. So extended order associated with two-dimensional Frobenius manifold. Okay, the same that in quantum cohomology of projective line. So it has two chains of times, S times and T times. In my just standard notations with T alpha P times T 1 P R S times 2 P R T times. Okay? So choose this, take the vacuum tau function for Toda and restrict it, perform shift by 1 alone T to 1 time instead of T 1 1. For the topological tau function, to compute Gromov-Witten invariance of projective line, one has to take shift along T11. Here we do instead shift along T21 instead of T1. Okay, and this is the S0 is X, FP is 0, T0 is 0, T1 is minus 1, and TP is just up to factorials, up to shift of numeration are the coefficients of the polynomial. Okay? Then this is just exactly the partition function of the Hermitian matrix model. More precisely, this is corresponds to the so-called one-cut asymptotic behavior. You know, that means that asymptotically the eigenvalues of the random Hermitian matrix A are localized in one interval. In this case, one cut asymptotic coincides with the formal saddle point expansion of this interval. Okay? And this formal saddle point, using this formal saddle point expansion, one obtains the degenerating function of Riemann graphs. Okay, fed graphs on Riemann surfaces. This is just a reminder: some logarithm, Bernoulli numbers, and this part, regular part, gives just degenerating function of fed graphs of genus G. Okay, it's already explained at the first lecture. Okay, you see, this is I just wanted to say again what I did say many times, that such a trick, such permutations of the role of S variable and T variables, essentially of the role of the space variable that previously was T10, but now the space variables became T20. Okay. So this permutation interchanges vacuum term functions for Toda hierarchies and vacuum term functions for nonlinear Schrödinger hierarchy. Okay, so that means essentially, since we perform shift by -1 of on this variable, what we do, we select the topological term function for the nonlinear Schrödinger hierarchy. This is another example of hierarchy of the topological type. So that means that essentially that the numbers of Riemann graphs, actually we have suppressed some part of coupling, but if we were putting all of them, we would obtain some generating function in both T and S, and derivatives of the generating function would satisfy all topological recursion relations, as if they come from a two-dimensional topological field theory. Okay, they are not that visible just on the level when we already have suppressed all S times but S zero. Okay, so this is, we just have selected part of the information of our two-dimensional topological field theory with two primaries. Now, let us proceed. So this is for one cat case. Let us ask the following question. What happens in multi-cat case? Multi-cat case means that after just deforming the coefficients of the polynomial V, it can happen that after such a deformation, a kind of phase transition happens, and the spectrum, the asymptotic spectrum of the eigenvalues is not just a single interval, but two or more intervals. Okay. This is picture I borrowed from the old paper by Jurkiewicz, and there are some other papers, but this is one of the more clear figure. And it says that after phase transition in the central area, it doesn't matter the meaning of the axis or some part of this parameter lambda. In the central area, the behavior of the correlation functions becomes oscillatory. Okay, so that means that I recall this small parameter epsilon is, the epsilon expansion is essentially what people call 1/n expansion in matrix models. So that means that in this case one does not have regular 1/n expansion in the central zone. And this central zone exactly correspond to the appearance of two-cut asymptotics. So in this case, the asymptotic distribution of eigenvalues of the random matrix, of Hermitian random matrix, contains two intervals. From the point of view of the formula, it means that in the full asymptotic expansion, not only the regular terms in epsilon arise, but also oscillatory terms like exponential of it over epsilon. When epsilon goes to zero, then these terms become rapidly oscillating. Okay, so that means that it is very, of course, difficult not only from mathematical point of view, but also from numerical point of view, just to do computations in the presence of these rapid oscillations. What people do, they consider the what they call smooth correlation functions. Okay, I think that in all physical papers, when they discuss multicut asymptotics, they essentially discussed the result of the application of a kind of averaging procedure, averaging out or smoothing out all this rapid oscillation. If you prefer to use the precise mathematical formulation, that the idea is just to, that the, this exponential when epsilon goes to zero. Rapid oscillation exponential goes to zero in the sense of weak convergence. So we can say the weak convergence, we just eliminate all terms that weakly convergent are weakly converge to zero, and we keep after this only regular expansion in epsilon. Regular, okay? So we obtain, so the question, take the correlation function or take the partition function, apply this the procedure of smoothening, then the question, what is the corresponding interval hierarchy? Of course, without smoothening, there is no question at all. We had Todd system before the phase transition. We still have Todd system after phase transition. But since we apply this smoothening procedure, the interval hierarchy will change. This is the price to be paid. Okay, and now I suggest the following. The following prescription how to describe this multicut smoothing correlator, smoothing partition function for Hermitian matrix model. These are joint with Tamara Grava. And so the statement is the following. One has to take another interval hierarchy associated with another Frobenius manifold. If the number of, if in the case of G gaps in the spectrum, one has to take the Frobenius manifold of the dimension 2G plus 2. I use capital G to just to avoid confusion with the genus of expansion, of the genus expansion, one over an expansion. Take the, namely, the Hurwitz space of hyperelliptic curves, okay, and U, I's are the, they both are the canonical coordinates on this Frobenius manifold. In this case, they both are the branch points of this Frobenius manifold. Okay, this is a I will, just on the next slide, I will give more details about the structure of this Frobenius manifold. Construct the integrable hierarchy of the topological type associated with this Frobenius manifold. And this is the integrable hierarchy that we need to produce to compute the multicut asymptotics. Okay. This is just a reminder of the general construction of Frobenius structure on Hurwitz spaces. So these are modulus spaces of branch coverings. We fix over the Riemann sphere. Capital G is the genus of the branch coverings. We fix the genus, capital G, fixed degree of the covering. So this is just a rational map of the Riemann surface of genus G to be one of the given degree. We have to fix ramification type at infinity above one point and fix the basis of A and B cycles on this Hurwitz space, okay? After this, also one has to choose so-called primary differential. There are many choices. For example, it is the simplest choice is to choose just holomorphic differential with constant A periods, okay? And actually, the role of this primary differential is very similar to the role of primitive form in the quasi-cycle theory of periods of primitive forms in the singularity theorem. Then the Frobenius structure is obtained in the following way. For example, holomorphic, yes.
Just
soft kind, yes. Holomorph means soft kind, yes. Instead of, there are other choices, but let me, so for the simplest computation of, for the case of DP. You see, changing DP, this is equivalent to changing the operation of changing of spatial direction. So, and we, this is something that is under control. It does matter, actually. In the sense that the vacuum interfunction will be always the same. Okay? One has to carefully look what parameters have to be kept and what kind of shift. To select a topological solution to which hierarchy, of course, we must remember, but for computation, it's more convenient to choose holomorphic. It doesn't matter. So this is a reminder how to construct the bilinear form, the flat metric, sum of the bridge points, d1 of lambda dp, d2 of lambda dp, divided over the lambda. Okay? These derivatives are assumed to be taken if the value of p is just integral on the abelian integral on the Riemann surface. Value of p is kept constant. And similar way is for the symmetric trilinear form for any three tangent vectors, d1, d2, d3 is again a sum of residues, some cubic differential in the numerator and d lambda times dp in the denominator, again summation over all the branch points. Then some open dense subset in the Hurwitz space, this formula defined the Frobenius structure. This actually was my first paper about Frobenius manifolds when even the name of Frobenius manifold has not been invented. Okay. Anyway, so this is just example, just to give you an idea how does it look like. Take the simplest case of two-cut asymptotics. In this case, the Riemann surface has genus 1, elliptic curve with 4 branch points. Okay, in this case, I repeat, I choose the DP holomorphic differential. This Frobenius manifold can be equivalently represented by the following superpotential, lambda of p, that actually is nothing but the symbol of the Lax operator. Actually, this is an interesting question, how to quantize the symbol. So here the p, so one has to replace p by derivative, d over dx. But p now is it's symbol, what it means, a symbol. L of, when you if started from differential operator in one variable, you replace epsilon d over dx by letter p. You obtain function. Okay. Now you have to replace back p by d over dx. But you obtain function a little bit weird, since d over dx now will stand under the argument of the Jacobi theta function. So actually the previous general construction of integral hierarchy of the topological way must correspond to some particular way of quantization of this symbol. But this I am so far unable to be more specific how to perform such a quantization. Okay? So this is the potential of the Frobenius manifold against theta 1. By the way, in my slides on in Lissabon, where I showed this formula, this theta functions are written in upside down. Since in the handbook I copied, so this expression is correct, but in the handbook the formula there was a mistake. So I just copied this mistake on my slide. Sorry about that, but here just if you compare with the. With this slide. So this is just this classical expansion that now is written in right way is the simplest way to check validity of WDVV for this potential. Okay. And then that's it. We have Frobenius manifold. We now develop the general procedure and we can compute term by term the hierarchy and then compute the partition function. So this is the selection of solution. Okay. I'm not sure that this is that maybe that's not even visible. So this is the how to specify first the solution of the dispersionless hierarchy. This is the analog of the method of characteristics. Take this linear combination of the Hamiltonians that appeared previously, this explicit computation in terms of the logarithmic derivatives of Jacobi's theta function. So they depend on x, on lambda 3, lambda 4, and so on the coefficient of the polynomial in the Hermitian integral. This is, and take, then write down the equation gradient phi, gradient with respect to u, v, w, tau. So in the hierarchy, there will be, maybe I have to, I'm sorry about that, I have to, again, to emphasize, in the hierarchy, there will be four dependent functions. This is four-dimensional Frobenius manifold. The dependent function will be u, v, w, tau. Tau is the, of course, the modular parameter will be one of the dependent variables of the hierarchy. Of course, the dispersionless limit is something well known. This is just the what the people call Widom equations that correspond to the leading term, the modulation of the branch points of the Riemann surface in the leading approximation. But higher correction in epsilon. My claim is that higher correction in epsilon, and where epsilon is 1 over n, of course, higher corrections are described by the general procedure of computing of integral hierarchy of the topological type. Okay? For example, this is the genus 1. So these are the canonical coordinates. And these four Jacobi's theta functions must be put here. So this is the epsilon square correction. This is already familiar terms. That this is the G function. It's interesting that everywhere there are some, one has to use duplication formula and all this computation. So this is just one example of the hierarchy that essentially new hierarchy, and well, the hierarchy is not that simple. However, that this example shows that this at least some of these new hierarchies that are obtained by this construction have actually some quite reasonably interesting applications. Let me stop here now. Thank you.